Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Of a back-to-back, but let's bring in Bobby Marks, a longtime friend here on the River Islands Guest Line, as all guests on 95.7 Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, a beautiful, beautiful place. Bobby Marks, ESPN analyst and front office insider, of course, has been doing it for a long, long time, and he always joins us here. Bobby, good morning. Good to talk to you again, and let's just get right started because I know your time is tight today. When we talk about trades, let's start this way. Let's start with this. What is the most appealing asset the Warriors have if they do want to make a deal for a big boy or a player that could kind of jumpstart the Golden State Warriors into the...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again, with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one, and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The top six of the Western Conference.
Yeah, I would say probably their draft picks. I don't see a player out there that could jumpstart them to get into the top six of the Western Conference. Kind of the reality. That's the reality of the situation for a lot of teams right now here. But I would think it's probably their draft pick that potentially could be in a lottery this year. And certainly they've got two more picks they would be able to trade. Of course, you could talk about Jonathan Kuminga and, the Andrew Wiggins contract to get the money to make something work here. I would think the draft picks. I have the trade guide, the big trade guide coming out on on Tuesday for all 30 teams. Ooh. And, you know, I'm not talking about going out and improving the roster in Golden State. I'm talking about how do you get under the luxury tax? I mean, I think that's a more likely option than going out and trying to trade for a high-level player, which high-level players aren't really available right now, especially, I mean, I guess if you could put Jimmy Butler up there, I don't know if that's what you want. But yeah, that's more of the direction. I know that's probably not a very appeasing to a Warrior fan, especially where you are right now. But it might be something like that, that happens at the deadline.
Okay, we've been talking a lot about, in the last hour or so, about Joe Lacob, because there's been different things said, and Bob Myers was on the broadcast last night, and he's talked about how it's a tough job working for Joe Lacob. Mm-hmm. You've worked for owners, and I don't know what kind of owner you've worked for before, because I wasn't doing your job, but what is it like in the cauldron of trying to compete when you have someone like Steph Curry, and you could tell that the embers of the dynasty are flaming out here, and you got Joe Lacob in there and you're collaborating them. Walk us through what that's like from the GM's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think you have to have a self-awareness of what the market is. I always say that, you know, we get caught up with the trade deadline, which is 2 weeks from today. The trade deadline is like going to a high end store right now, and things being like, you know, 150% of as far as what the value is. I mean, that's the reality of it. Whereas something like that, something the same thing when you get into the off season could be at 50% of the value. So I think you have to have some type of self awareness that, listen, Golden State's struggling. Teams know that. The asking price is going to be considerably higher right now than what it is in the summer here. And if you're willing to have patience, usually something will materialize here. I think the hard part is, listen, you've got a player on your roster, that you're trying to maximize his greatness with Curry. But I always say, like, you know, hey, it takes a dance partner. There's only 450 players in the NBA here. And I would say, I don't know, 85 or 90% of those guys are not available to go out and make a trade for here. So I get it. Like, I understand that there is certainly a frustration probably from ownership, as far as where this roster is and with Curry under contract for the next few years, and you're trying to you're trying to get as good as you can. But I said this to a team, and they agreed with me, not about Golden State, but just in general, sometimes you just got to walk away from the table. Sometimes you got to just pick up your whatever chips you have left, and you walk away from the table and you regroup for another day here, and we'll see what happens with Golden State. And that might be the reality of everything.
You know, Bobby Marks here on the River Islands guest line, ESPN analyst and front office insider, has been doing a long time, former assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets. You know, I've been kind of bringing that up over the last week, and, you know, some people say, well, Bonte, you're an idiot, and, you know, maybe you work for the team. But I'm if then nothing happens February 6th, to what you just said, I think it does behoove the Warriors to wait until the offseason, because I do think there's going to be more teams. We don't know who the next disgruntled superstar is going to be. We don't know if there's some guys at the margins, like maybe a P.J. Washington and Gafford that became available for the Dallas Mavericks. I do believe that maybe you will have more optionality in the summertime to make a move, as opposed to, hey, let's try to get a quick fix. We're 11th right now. Let's try to get into the top six, because it does look very unlikely that they could bring in a player, especially like a Zach LaVine, for example. It's going to cost you a haul, right, for Zach LaVine, Bobby?
Well, if a draft pick or whatever, but it's just the amount of players that would be going out when you're trading for a guy making, you know, $43-44 million. Any of those guys out there. That's why it's so complicated right now, certainly with the Jimmy Butler situation right now. And it's teams don't want Bradley Beal in the third year. And I think you have to have a big picture approach. I've been in a front office where we traded, I think, you know, back then it was top eight get in. And I think we were like two games out of eight. And we traded a lightly lottery protected first to Portland, thinking that we can make a run to get in and get Gerald Wallace, and it backfires on you. And, you know, certainly Gerald has had a couple good years for us, but it's not worth it. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. It's like, it's the patience level, right? It's like, it's the big picture approach. I know the goal is to get in somehow, not to be in the lottery here. But I do think you have to have some type of kind of reality out there. And listen, we live in a day and age of this collective bargaining agreement where it's not home runs. You know, hitting home runs is really the, you know, that's the least likely way how to go out and do trades. It's a lot of these singles and doubles. And as you said, it's what Dallas did a year ago when you get Gafford and you get PJ Washington. I think that's what you're trying to look for right now. Unfortunately, there's not to that magnitude. I don't know if you want to go out and trade a first round pick for Jonas Valanciunas, right? Like, does that move the needle a little bit for you? Vucevic in Chicago? I don't know. Like, that's the type of, you know, that's what you're looking at.
Okay, so, you know, we all pretend to be GMs. I got buddies to, I do this, and this, you know, and but you've done this for a living. And again, removing emotion, all that. Steph Curry comes to the team and he says, you guys do whatever you want to do. I would like to stay here. That would be my preference. Yeah. You know, do what you think you need to do to make this team good again. However long that takes, I'm here for you. They come to you, Bobby, and they say, what are the moves? What would you recommend them to do?
Oh man, I wish I had a player like that when I was in the front office that could say to me, "Listen, I'll work with you as far as I'll be patient and everything like that." I think at the end of the day, you know, it's interesting. It's almost like, you know, Phoenix has mortgaged their future for the next whatever 5 or 6 years to be a first round team. If you want to try to do that, and I'm not saying Golden State would do that, there are deals out there. Like, listen, if they want to, if, you know, like I'm, as I said, I'm probably not going to do Zach LaVine, but the hard thing is that I can't pinpoint a player out there that can move the needle. It's really hard for me. Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, you know, some of those higher end guys here.
Zion?
You know, listen, I'm look. What's that?
Zion? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, Zion for me, and I've talked about it before. Zion for me is a low risk. I'm not mortgaging the future type move. Listen, if I can move Wiggins and something else in a first round pick, yeah, that probably would do it. And you got to take the risk as far as everything else that comes with it. But that's worth a swing. I always say this too. I mean, you guys know, you go through the playoffs, there's going to be players and there's going to be teams that get eliminated in the first round that are going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when things start to, things get to start getting here. Listen, I'm not saying I would go after him, but who knows if Joel Embiid will be available, right? Like that. I mean, but that's a $300 million headache that you would inherit. That's the scenarios that we're going to go through, in the next few months here. You just got to get through these next 2 weeks. And if there's no deal to be made, then you kind of regroup and you figure it out in the offseason.
Bobby, have you heard anything on Zion being moved before the deadline? I know David Griffin, the GM down there in New Orleans, would he actually do that before the deadline, trade Zion Williamson? Because I know he missed a flight recently. Yeah. Obviously, he hasn't been on the floor. Do you think that would happen? If I had to, hey, Bobby, your last dollar, you put your bottom dollar on it. Zion's going to be in a Pelican uniform after February 6th. What would you say to that?
I would say he'll be in a New Orleans uniform. Tim McMahon and I wrote about it right before he was about to come back from his injury, the biggest mystery and everything, and all signs pointed that he would. And I think if for New Orleans' perspective, you're trying to build up his value, right? You're trying to maximize as much. Listen, the injury concerns will always be there, but you want to maximize his value. And how you do that is for him to be on the court for you for the last, you know, 35, 40 games.
We've been talking about just the Kuminga, his value, you know, how much that he would be, you know, getting potentially at the end of this year and the ability for the Warriors to match or go above and beyond that. How's that looking this morning? Like, what's his value league wide? How many teams are offering him big money? How should the Warriors view him? Like, I have a million Kuminga questions and I watch him every night. I don't have the answer.
Yeah, listen, restricted free agency is tricky. Restricted free agency requires a team to come in with an offer sheet. There is literally one team this summer, which is the Brooklyn Nets, who have more than $40 million in room. There's a couple teams in that $20 to $25 million range. So I think Jonathan Kuminga's value is probably where Jalen Johnson in Atlanta is, you know, in that $30 million range. Mm-hmm. They signed him to an extension for, I think, 5 for $150 million. I think Jalen's probably more accomplished as far as what he's been able to do the last couple of years. But I think that's where I see the Kuminga, value. This is not a marketplace this upcoming summer where it's 2016 and 25 out of the 30 teams have cap space and they're going to go out and overpay on one of these players.
What would you think? Because a lot of Warrior fans are getting fed up with Draymond Green, who of course has helped mm-hmm. this team win 4 championships. I thought he got off to a great start this season. He was shooting the 3-ball well, and I think he needs to be aggressive offensively to open up the offense and create more spacing for guys like Steph and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
But what would the market look like for Draymond Green for Warrior fans that are curious?
Yeah, listen, I did a podcast with Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo, and Kevin made a really good point, and it had to do kind of with how Danny Ainge had basically kind of tore down that roster in Boston with Pearson Garnett. And he made the point was that Danny was on those teams with Bird and McHale and Parrish, and Red Auerbach was reluctant to do anything, right? We got to see it through. These are kind of living legends here. And it kind of burnt them at the end because they were basically stuck with older players and the rebuild was a lot harder. And why I say that is, Kevin brought that up as far as Draymond. Right, like, and he also brought Steph up, and I was like, "Wait a minute, let's hold on." I was listening a little bit,
Bobby. I was like, "Chill, dude. You don't want tickets last his price. Empty gym. Nobody's trading Steph unless he absolutely says I want out."
I don't want Mike and Joe mad at me if I'm talking about Steph. But I did say, like, listen, if it was Draymond and he's got after this year, I think 2 more years. Listen, if you're looking at teams like Detroit, who are an up-and-coming team and have some draft picks and have some young players, I think that would be something. I don't, probably not in the next couple weeks, but I do think that's probably a conversation as far as he doesn't fit everyone, as you guys know. But I do think if you can get something back and it makes sense, and it kind of restarts this retool a little bit quicker without doing something drastic, I think that's certainly something that you would probably have to think about.
In terms of, like, owners and collaboration, the word meddling has been described with Joe Lacob, and you've been in it. Would you rather your owner not have any input when working with the GM, or would you rather hearing directly, the collaboration and the conversations, and maybe there's some creative tension between you and the owner as a GM?
Listen, I would rather have the owner be part of the conversation here. I worked for an owner in Brooklyn for 5 years, and I probably saw him one time. So I wouldn't want an absentee owner. Joe paid a lot of money for this organization, and they've won a lot of championships. And I think he has the right, as far as from a decision making standpoint. I will say this though. I do think you have to trust the people, whether it be Mike and Larry and that group there, mm-hmm. as far as putting the roster together, presenting ideas that make sense. Of course, at the end of the day, the owner, in any situation, the owner is going to have the final say. Rarely is the owner going to say, "Well, I'll leave it up to you." He'll have the final say because it's based on a lot of different circumstances. So I would want my owner to be involved. I wouldn't want my owner being the GM, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you see that in Dallas right now with the Cowboys as far as Jerry Jones. Yeah. That certainly hasn't worked out, but I wouldn't have any problem as far as from an ownership standpoint, him being involved.
From that sense, I want to follow up on that, Bobby, because I'm with you. I would rather have an owner who cares about the damn team sitting courtside and wants to win and paying all the luxury tax money. It must be a luxury for a GM. But do you get the sense from afar that Joe Lacob could be overbearing, or maybe he's too involved? And do you think that he's hindered maybe Mike Dunleavy or Bob Myers when he was running the team from making moves? Do you think Joe Lacob's done that at all from what you've heard?
Well, I don't think so because, listen, you just look at the I think it's coming out more now just because they're not winning. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, Golden State went through a stretch from 2014 to 2019 where they made zero regular season trades because they didn't need to.
Yep.
Right? You didn't need to do anything. Some of your stuff you did in the offseason here. And it becomes a little bit more challenging when you're not playing well and there's an emotion involved and you're staring at the play-in, you're trying to get in here and you're trying to figure it out here. So I don't think, you know, from a meddling or whether it had been Bob or, you know, currently with Mike, as I said, kind of you give him your ideas and your thoughts. Of course he's got the right to overrule you on everything like that, but I don't buy into that.
We get these texts all the time. Like, maybe they should explore trading Steph Curry. And we don't subscribe to that. We know he's a cash cow. You've run a team. You know he's, you're laughing because you know he's a cash cow. But what would it hypothetically, and I almost feel stupid asking this.
Yeah, I almost want to cut him off, Bobby.
No, one second.
No, listen.
What does it look like?
Here's what I'll say. I'm not going to go into hypotheticals and all that stuff. I would say this. There's only two players in the NBA that don't have a no-trade clause, LeBron and Bradley Beal. I would say Steph Curry has a de facto no-trade clause. And the ability of what he's done for that organization, he basically built an arena based on what he's been able to do the last 10 years and win championships. And I would never go out there and start calling, hey, if we put Curry on the market, what do you guys think? And I would never do that. I think if there was ever a time and he looks at the roster, whether it be the off season or next year or, you know, whenever, and he says like, hey, listen, this is, you know, I want what's best for the organization and that's kind of rebuilding this thing. That's where you would kind of go in that direction there with him and everything. Like he basically would hold the cards. Now I'll say this. Listen, if it ever happened, and I don't think it will, I mean, you guys see what's been traded. You know, 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, 4 picks for Rudy Gobert, 4 picks for, for Donovan Mitchell. I think how Oklahoma City has done it, and we can talk all about draft picks, and they've got a lot. The reason why Oklahoma City is so successful is because they got a franchise player back in a trade in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. That's the reality of it. They don't get Shea. They're probably sitting there where Utah is or some of these other teams that have a lot of draft picks. San Antonio has Victor. You can use that player as a building block. So that's probably, you know, certainly a conversation for another day. And as I said, you know, even though he doesn't have a no trade, he basically does.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that. Look, we just get asked a lot and I feel stupid even asking it. That being said, like they've got a draft pick for next year and there's probably going to be a middle round pick somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like they need the fountain of youth for Steph would be a bigger two guard who can facilitate a little knockdown shots, but defensively be able to complement him in the way that Clay was. What would be the fountain of youth type of a player skill set on the roster they could add via trade or in the draft that you'd be not a name, just like a type of player they need that could be that fountain of youth for him to age gracefully?
Well, that's the player. I think that's kind of, you know, listen, everybody's kind of, whether you're looking for a big wing or you're looking for a two guard, and Steph certainly had that with Clay for a long time. That's the guy as far as where they can alleviate the pressure. And I think that's why, listen, they had success early in the year because Buddy played really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Buddy's not a big guard, but, and I said this, I think back in like November, I said like, listen, Buddy's the X factor as far as kind of where things go with this. And when he plays well, good things happen. And so I think that is, that's probably your position of need as far as what you probably need to address, in the off season and in the draft and everything.
Bobby, you're the man. We appreciate all the time today, man. Thanks for clearing a lot of things up. We're on the same page with a lot of things there. Bobby, take care, man. We'll be looking for your work on Tuesday.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Great stuff.
Anytime. Bobby Marks here on the River Islands guest line.
I learn from him every time.
I mean, just look, the trade stuff, when I just think it's dumb as hell.
I know.
I mean, no, not you. I'm not saying you. Yeah. But I've been hearing it this week on the station, whether it's from Hulst or anything. You know, Trey Steph Curry get.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.